to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. We've seen a couple of different messages from the chapter. I want to come back and pick up on verse number 6 this morning. Revelation chapter 1. I've entitled the message Kings and Priests. Kings and Priests. Let's begin Revelation 1, verse number 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and from the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God in his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. We've all heard the saying from time to time that somebody noticed the qualities of an individual who had to work through difficulties and obstacles, and I've heard the expression that he's a self-made man. But I'm going to tell you something far greater than that, that when God began to save my soul and God saved me, opened my eyes to the Scriptures, I'm glad to say that I ought to be the Christ-made man and not the self-made. And because I realize what he's doing, he's molding and making us into his image. That God has a great purpose in your life to take you from a sinner to a saint. One day, God will fulfill what he started. And when he finishes with you, the Bible said he'll present us to himself as the sons of God. And so, as the song we sang in children's church, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And so God is still working on you and me, and you and I, we need to yield to him and to his Spirit as God is trying to mold you and make you something that brings him glory and honor. And we all rejoice when we see God save a soul. And I've seen God reach down and pick up somebody deep in the valley of sin and change their lives and pick them up and begin to work in them and change them. And I've seen the fruits of the Spirit in their life and how God has just made a new creature out of them. We rejoice in what God can do. I want to tell you, it takes the power of God. I'm glad that this great salvation is the power of God. It's not man doing his best. Not man turning over a new leaf. It's not man some kind of a reformation, but it's man who allowed God in his heart to receive Jesus Christ, and God began to do the work in him. And so, thank God. As a matter of fact, when I get to heaven, I wish the Lord would stand down on the bottom of my foot. Made in heaven. You know how we have everything made in China. I like it on my foot. It says made in heaven. I think that'd be wonderful. And but I'm glad today of what God is doing in you and for you. And he's not done yet. And you and I ought to have a desire for God to do what he wants to do in our life, to seek after his will. I'm glad today he's my Savior, my Redeemer. I'm glad he rescued me from the world face of the devil. The Bible says this in Psalm 100. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. And so we come together. What we do in the house of the Lord, we praise the Lord. We give him honor and glory. We rejoice in him. We take no credit, no glory but ourselves. This is nothing but a lost sinner headed down the devil's road to hell. But thank God, he loved me and he came after me and wooed me by his Spirit and convicted me and showed me how precious Jesus is. And I'm glad for the day when I called upon him as my Savior and was birthed into the family of God as a newborn child of God and opened my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly my prayer, that's the case for you today, each and every morning. As I look through the scripture, there are several things we can see today, but just in the way of introduction, let me share a couple of them with you. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:6, he hath made us accepted in the blood. He's made you and I acceptable in his fellowship and in his family. Oh, thank God today. I'm on the outside and on the inside. I'm glad he loves me. I'm glad I'm a sheep of the pasture. I'm glad I know I belong to his flock. And you might be the black sheep in the family, but you could be one of the precious sheep of the Lord Jesus. If you'll come to him, he'll cast nobody out of your kingdom. And he makes us acceptable.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. There are a lot of places in our earlier days we will be accepted. Some folks say, well, preacher, I come to church, but the walls fall in. No, it hadn't fallen in when we came in. They don't fall in, you came in. Thank God we all came as sinners, but God saved us. We all came in unworthy, but he made us worthy through his precious blood. And so listen, he is molding and making us for his glory alone. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:6, he made us sit together in heavenly places. He made us sit together. That is, you actually climbed up to sit and see what he sees. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm glad that I have a view, an eternal view. I'm glad God lets me see what's down the road and what's ahead. He's opened our eyes to Bible prophecy. We know where everything's headed because God has told us. And we have a seat high up where we can really see. And there have been many times, listen, I've been scared of heights. Most of my life, it always bothered me. I forced myself to do it. My hunting buddy, Ronnie Pitt, he'd come get me, so let's go hunting. And he'd have a tree stand. I'm thinking, no, I don't want to climb a tree. He'd come on, you can do it, you can do it. And that's when I was 350 pounds. You climb a tree. I'm looking at a whole lot. I get up a tree. I get about 12 feet. I couldn't get comfortable. I look up there, Ronnie's 40 feet up, and the wind blowing his tree. He's laying in the tree. He used to climb these towers over here on the fire cut. They were power lines to get all the top. And now I'm down here in my little 12 feet from the wind blowing on my ground. I'm open. But I'm glad today. Listen, he has taken us up to give us a spiritual vision. You see, before we were not a worldly creature, and all we saw was the world. And all we dream about, all our ambitions were in this life, in this world. And listen, aren't you glad God lifted you up, let you see and know that all this stuff perish is going to mean nothing, but we have eternal treasure, eternal values in Christ. And so, listen, I'm glad he's made us sit together in heavenly places. We can sure see things a lot better. Thank God. And then, listen, the Bible said in Galatians 5:1, he has made us free. Made free. What's he talking about? He's talking about the bondage of sin in the flesh. Now listen, there's a lot of folks, I preach it all the time. I'm going to preach it again. But a lot of folks around this church, you know what? If you ask them, should you be in church on Sunday? They probably say, well, I probably should. Why don't you? They have a bondage in doing what they know is right and good. They have a bondage. You know how to live it. Flesh ain't going to live it. No. Well, isn't it good? Isn't it right? Should you be there? Won't you live in the place you like? I'm sure it is. Anything wrong with it? No. Why don't you come? Aren't you glad for the liberty? The liberty. As I say all the time, don't you say, nobody made me come this morning? Hallelujah. I can't because I want to. And as I often say, that's a blessing when you're the pastor. And it's all a blessing. I can't go this morning too. I have a liberty to come. I have a liberty to worship God. Listen, sometimes we get to go to a preacher's fellowship. You know what? I like preaching. I do. I like to hear the word of God preached. I do. Just rejoice in it. I love to hear folks sing and praising the Lord. Listen, some folks sit in the church, man, I tell you what, they're just, you know, oh my goodness, the word of what kind of thing you need to be. But I'm glad I'm joined. I appreciate what Jenny told me a couple weeks ago to come out of church. And I said, listen, I got more to say, run out of time. And Jenny went out and said, preacher, she was good for another hour.
Amen.
Thank you for that. I like it. Love it. Love to worship God. Love to hear on God's people. Love to sing his praise. Love the fellowship. Love to pray together. I love to rejoice in the Lord. Love preaching. You know why? God gave you liberty for that. God gave you liberty for that. Now listen, we know what it's like for God. Save my soul is the last thing I wanted to do. But now you and I have a liberty. He has made us free that we can enjoy and desire to do things that are right and good, things that will bless our life.
Hallelujah.
He's made us free. And Colossians 1:12, he's made us partakers of the inheritance. Hallelujah. He's made us partakers. You know what? He put you in the will. Hallelujah. If you are saved, child of God, born again, you are in his will. And listen, everything that he's inherited by his faithfulness and by his hard work, by his sacrifice, by all that he did, he deserves heaven and all that has to offer. But here's what he did. He put you in his will and made you a partaker of his inheritance.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo! You're rich in Christ today.
Amen.
And all that he has in store. But now notice in our text, the Bible said he has made us kings and priests unto God to whom we glory. The word made, of course, means to be formed or fashioned, molded by the just like Jeremiah taught the nation about the pot and the clay. God wanted to mold the nation into a beautiful vessel that he could fill with his glory. And but he had to start over again, had to crush the clay and reform. And Jeremiah said that God wants you to be the clay in his hand and let him make something out of your life. If you're left to make it, it's going to be ugly. Yeah. Okay. It's going to be like your first pottery class. Okay. Anybody ever tried pottery in there?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Oh, the best you are. That first thing you made, yeah, that thing's so pretty.
Yeah.
No, I'm not ready. Isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
You need to crush that thing dry. if you did it with your kids, you know, your mama put it on the shelf, and even she knows that thing. But anyway, my baby made it, so we're going to celebrate. Now listen, God's still working on this. God is molding and making us in this, of this soul, and the potter's hand, listen, that molds and makes us. I watch those who can do it and just stand in awe of what they can do. And listen, I stand in awe of what God can do with a life that's surrendered unto him. But here's the problem today. Many professed believers are not seeking to fulfill God's calling in his purpose. You know what? God saved you and delivered you from hell, but he's got more in store for you than that. God wants you to use you. He wants you to be his vessel. He wants you to serve him. Otherwise, why didn't God just take you into heaven as soon as you got saved? I'll tell you, it'd be a rough gathering for the church. Okay? You know, a bunch of devils in here. But thank God he saved you and brought you to the house of God. Listen, that you might be the family of God and that you might serve him and be used of him for his glory. I'm afraid too many professed believers are on a self-driven path of worldly pursuits with no desire for the will of God. That's a sad picture. God wants you to do something, don't resist him. Right? God has something great in store. It brings an eternal benefit. It makes a far greater purpose in life. There are people, who build castles in the sand, but the waves come washing away. There are a lot of people who have worldly pursuits, and they build things that bring them honor and glory to man, but it fades quickly. God wants to use you for that which has an eternal benefit. God wants to use you. This will make an impact upon the lives of people that will determine their eternal destiny. That's the greatest reward. It loved to be the reward of a surgeon who saves a life. It would be wonderful to have people who have devoted themselves to rescuing people, helping people, changing their living. I'm going to tell you, all that pales in comparison to those who have been used by God to bring eternal life to those who have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And God uses you and me to impact people's lives. God uses us as a testimony of his grace and mercy and how that he's changed us and made new creatures of us, confirming our testimony that salvation is real. It's a power of God. It's something God does, and it's real. And he's saying to me, I'm not perfect, but God is going to finish that up. And he's going to make us perfect. Notice really quickly, he has made us kings and priests. First of all, he's made us kings. A king is one who's invested with authority to lead and guide others in the pursuit of life and liberty. Let me give that again to you. One invested with authority to lead and guide others in the pursuit of life and liberty. A king is a leader. The root word for the word king in the Bible means to have a base or a standing. And the idea, of course, is providing stability and setting an example because of where you stand. And so, you and I today understand sense, that we have been invested with authority because we stand upon the Word of God. And so a king establishes the constitution and the law, and he stands upon that law. And so as he ministers to the people, as a leader, to guide, and one who gives forth the law and enforces the law, listen, he stands upon that law that's been established. And when there becomes a problem is when he varies from the law himself. As you and I are well accustomed to in the political arena we live in the world today, and we have so many people who are considering themselves above the law. And they make decisions for themselves that are separate from things that you and I have to live. They exempt themselves from the laws of life. And so you and I are frustrated, aggravated, and disgusted many times with leadership. But the Bible has called us to be kings under God. And he's given us his word we stand upon. And as a king, as an example, as a leader, you and I are to have a stability. And so we're called by God to stand firmly upon his word. That is the authority. I didn't make the law. I didn't write it. God did. I'm just standing upon that which God has told me that would be life and death, blessing and cursing. And so I stand upon it. And listen, woe to me, a stabilizing influence upon the lives of others because I know what the truth is, and I'm doing the truth, and I'm standing on the truth, and I'm being an example for others to follow. Sometimes we call that being an example or being a reference. Now, preach many times, God wants you to be a reference point in the path of life for others to follow. Many times we give directions to people and we try to pick out landmarks that have stability and reputation. And so I would say, Brother Tim, now if you go up here and you take a left, right there where the food truck is, now that wouldn't be real small because he's only there once in a while. He's going to go up there and take a look. And so we pick out landmarks that have reputation and stability. Sometimes those things change because those things don't always work. I have seen a lot of landmarks. Anybody remember coming out of the wild, the giant? Remember the giant?
Yes.
You know what? That was a pretty good landmark until they took it down. Yeah. Everybody could see it. Reputation, everybody saw the giant. You know, standing out there in some farmer's field. I guess that's technical, I don't know where it is, I don't know, in that area. And so I used to tell people, you can go up here and you'll pass Murphy's. You'll go up there and you'll stop up there and then that's gone. So occasionally we have to change our landmark. But we look for places of stability. You know what? That's what God wants you to be. He wants you to be a reference point of stability for your family. You know what? God's always blessed me. And they just seem to have a lot of joy and peace. And boy, they're good people. They have integrity and character and honesty and dependability. And they give good counsel. And just seem like things work for them. And just seem like when storm comes, they're not that shaken. And when they have troubles and crisis comes, it seems like they have a sense of peace and a sense of strength. And so they become a source of stability and leadership in the lives of others. And so the Bible says he has made us kings that we might be reference points and be examples and promote stability for the lives of others. I'm going to tell you, look around the world we're in today. Woo! They need some reference points.
That's true.
Amen?
Amen.
I mean, the chaos, confusion, craziness, nonsense. When we got through and believed that, you know what, young boys need to see a man somewhere. Are you with me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, a man somewhere.
Right.
And these young ladies need to see a woman, a godly woman.
Yeah.
I mean, those things are right going on in our society. And, we need, those people who have that stability, character, integrity, standing upon the truth of the Word of God. Hey, listen, not shaken, not stirred. Hey, listen, you don't want a landmark where every point something's always moving. You want something that has some stability to it. And stand up. And so the Bible says that you and I have to stand and do all to stand. Listen, without the Lord's heard about the truth. God's called you to serve. We are to serve others. You see, you and I are not only a reference point, but also we are places where people can find help. We are places when people have a need they can come to. Listen, when they need somebody to pray, they need to call upon. People have character, integrity, that rules and governs their lives. Our obedience is not external, it's internal, because God has written His word upon our heart. And so, listen, we should be the same where we're at. Listen, whether we're on church on Sunday, whether we're out with family on Friday night, whether in the town of Bundlesburg, or whether we are in New York City, we should be the same people everywhere we go. God has made us kings, and so we have a standing, and you and I are to be a reference point, and we are to be a helper, and so, listen, we are to serve others. Now, listen, they know that that person is given to kindness, that person is given to gracious, that person is a person of compassion, empathy, and care. Joni was sharing earlier before the service the empathy of her doctor. And I'll tell you, listen, when you see a caregiver, listen, just how many really cares and compassion and burden for you, I'm going to tell you, that's so uplifting in our soul. I mean, anybody that shows a real compassion, empathy, and care, listen, makes an impact on the lives of others. I mean, an impact on the lives of others. I've got a friend at the gym. We don't agree from a biblical standpoint. But I'm going to tell you, she shed tears when I told her about what happened to my mom. I'll never forget that. And told her I appreciate that. Somebody really cared, had the empathy, and reached out. Listen, thank God for people like that. You know what God calls you to be? We live in a selfish world. A dog eat dog world. And listen, nobody cares about themselves. And the Bible talks about the last day lovers of themselves. And selfish, mean, cruel, and if you're not in that short little circle, then you're nothing. And listen, but God raised you up to be a servant. Somebody, listen, who serves Him on behalf of others. Listen, somebody that we can depend on and count on and go to in time of need and help. Listen, they may mock you. Listen, when they're having their heydays. But I'll tell you, when Christ is here, they'll seek you out. And I want somebody to love God. Amen. So I know the Lord. Number two, God has made us kings, He's made us priests, the Bible says. Listen, the one who's been set apart as an intercessor between God and man. An intercessor, please. As you and I serve the Lord, we are to manifest His glory. You and I proclaim His word, we will reveal His holiness. The Bible says, Hebrews 13:15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually by the fruit of those who give you thanks. To His name, but to do good, communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifice that God will please. A priest was known for sacrifice. They made that for the Lord. And so, listen, hey, you and I are offered the sacrifice of praise. Now, listen, as a made priest of the Lord, you know what we do? How we are to spend our day looking for every opportunity to glorify God. Isn't that refreshing when you go about your daily cares and interact with people? Find somebody who says, well, praise the Lord. I mean, isn't that a blessing? Praise the Lord. I mean, that's become aware of them. We give God the glory with the sacrifice of our lips, praising His name. I listen, rejoicing in Him, finding somebody, I listen, who's willing to honor the name of Jesus Christ and lift up His name. I listen, we're surrounded by such filth and vulgar. I tell you, the conversations around us today, the words, expressions and things are so vile, so filthy, so vulgar. And listen, if we hunger and thirst for somebody, listen, who will say, praise the Lord. Somebody, listen, who will say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Somebody who will glorify Him. Somebody who will give thanks to Him. Somebody who will rejoice in what He's done. You and I, as the priest of the Lord, we're going to make sacrifice of praise unto God. Listen, as a priest of the Lord, we also are to do good and communicate. That is that you and I, that we are to go forth in the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the meekness, the temperance. Listen, we are to go forth with the faith. And listen, as we minister the lives of others, manifesting those fruits. The Bible said no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfecting us. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be saved the world. You read that text. You know what it's saying? It's saying, no man's seen God, but if you'll walk in the Spirit, and you and I, listen, if we fellowship with God, our hearts are right, they will see God in you.
Amen.
They will see God in you. It's Christ in you. And so you and I, as the priest of the Lord, we communicate from the power of the Spirit that you and I are those written epistles in our heart, that you and I are testimonies for the presence of Christ in our life. And so you and I go forward as the salt of the earth and light of the world and begin to share what Christ has done in our life and what he'll do in the lives of others, and we communicate that. I've been considering preaching here about the second mile religion, going the extra mile. Going the extra mile. The natural man doesn't do that, but the spiritual man is supposed to go the extra mile. I appreciate that today I took my boat to the boat doctor. He called me with the bad news. He said, well, I sure tell you, said, that thing's terminal. He said, your boat will blow up. And he said, I've cut my losses. I think ready for the grave. And so I went this morning. I went and picked it up down there close to Wilson, Buckhorn Bridge, or whatever that way. And I dragged it back. And as I dragged it back, all of a sudden I heard the most commotion I've ever heard in my life. I looked back. The boat is doing like this. Going back and forth, going all over the place. I thought it was a flat tire, worse than that. But if you, that thing jumped off the side of the wall.
Oh,
and Satan can change all things in hell for
us.
And I mean, I'm trying to stop him. And that thing hit the back of the truck, and then I left the brakes and go back. And so I'm going back and forth all that way. And so I finally get stopped. Thank the Lord I was coming the back way from Wilson to the little road. And Fraser Road is where I was headed to, he said. And as I was getting close to that, I thought, what the world was that? And I said, I got jacked in. Because I mean, the front of the track is way on the corner. I don't know what. And if you ain't going to live, if you bother with it, come on, live. Okay, if you ain't going to live. And so I got the jack. Well, I thought, this is it. I found everything, cranked that thing up. I'm good. I'm good to go. I'm going to jack it up, put it back on the wall, and we'll be good to go. The thing, the trailer, so low, the jack didn't fit. And I said, Lord, here I'm in the middle of the road. Thank the Lord for your prayer. Be thankful. You look for thank you.
Amen.
Only a small little place in the bumper underneath the guy. He has a truck to find. The boat's going to be ready right anyway, so I'm not going to worry about that. And I thought, what am I going to do? I guess I could call John and get my poor Jack. He's going to be here, but I'll be here around the half hour before we get there. And so, man, stop. And he said, we're going to get you fixed up. He had a Jack Shorty in mind, put up on the front. And he knew what to do. He was a former deputy sheriff down in Nash County, semi-retired. And he said, he was a drug addict, but he gave his heart to the Lord.
Amen.
And he said, I got shot in the face, missing some teeth, got scars here. He said, at that time I quit the force. I mean, we have a reason, probably, shot in the face. But he said, I got hooked on drugs after I got shot in the face. And he said, but anyway, he said, they said, now I'm doing good. And he said, I've been working and helping some others. And he said, I'm going to fix you up. So sure, he wouldn't let me do nothing. I said, here, I'll turn that now. And I'm not like that. He said, that's too pretty. It's too good. He did stand out. And so we talked for a little while. He fixed the thing, got it up there, got it, headed down the road. And of course, you know what I did? I said, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
I said, I'm on my way. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. And we don't know why things happen. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible does say, if you're a child of God, they have for a good reason. Well, sometimes that reason would be a testimony to be encouraged. And blessing to him, it sure was a blessing to me. And matter of fact, he gave his number and said, look me up on Facebook. And he said, if you ever need me again, you just call me. And what a blessing.
Amen.
All the way. You see, the Bible said we have a calling. Okay? That calling is more than just escaping hell. Thank God we have a calling and a purpose. God saved you. Now he's trying to mold you and to make you. And the Bible says he's made us kings and priests. Listen, and you and I are to serve the Lord, and our theme is his glory. If you notice, it says, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. You and I, listen, are to see that all the glory and honor belongs to our Savior and all that he's done for. We give him all the glory. Listen, God has a calling and purpose for your life. God wants you to serve him. Now listen, doesn't matter, listen, what your calling is in life. You might be a block layer, brick layer, might be a carpenter, might be a mechanic, I don't know what it is. But in the midst of all what you're doing, God wants you to serve him. Listen, being that picture of stability, strength, integrity, character, a reference point for This man living right. This man is blessed. This man has strength. This man has character. This man has integrity. And you know what? They're going to begin to inquire as to what you do. And you know what? Tell them is Jesus made you different.
Amen.
God wants you to be a priest, making sacrifices of praise and communicating goodness. God wants you to be an instrument of his grace and mercy, showing kindness and love and compassion and care to others who don't owe you nothing, and you don't owe them nothing. I'm going to tell you, God put it in your heart to care about people and go the extra mile. God wants you to be a priest of the Lord, representing you to a lost and dying world. Oh, listen, why not begin today? Say, Lord, I don't know what your will is for my life. Well, I could serve you, but Lord, I do want to do that. I want to serve you. I want to know your will. I'm going to tell you, if you desire it, God will lead you. God will show you how you can minister and serve him. As a matter of fact, listen, you and I have opportunities all around us to serve the Lord. Everywhere you go, there are people who need the Lord Jesus. There are people who need some help. There are people who need to know the way. There's some people that need the love of God, that need some kindness, that need some counsel, that need some encouragement, that need somebody to care about them. Hey, listen, they need to see somebody who has a sense of peace and rest and stability and strength and integrity and character. They need that as a reference point. You see, the Bible said to the nation of Israel, don't you tear down your landmarks. They're reference points. So, thank God we need some landmarks today in this crazy mixed up world.
Amen.
They don't have a clue what's right and wrong. Don't even know what they are. But you come along and testify in the record form. This is what God would have us do.
Amen.
And I want to be that one. And when you get to heaven, maybe God knew that for us. I don't know. I like to ask him, God, would you write that on my foot? Made in heaven. Not in China. Would you pray for me?